Everybody, this is Catherine Spires, the host of Smart Mouth, which is what you are listening to right now. This week, we have a guest who I have worked with professionally, Esther Tsang. Hey, Esther.
Hi.
How are you?
I am great.
Did we meet over email before we ever met in person or other way around?
I think it's hard to know what was first.
I know. It is.
But I think it's like, I think it was like a combination of email and then like social media.
Right.
Handle stuff.
Right. Yeah. Interacting.
What did you eat there?
I know. That's
good. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Important discussions exactly. That we have. Yes.
Perpetual.
So you are a blogger and someone who gets paid by journalists to write for them. And
yes.
Normally you write about food, but you are a dope snowboarder as well. And your most recent paid byline is with Outside Magazine.
Yeah, that was fun.
So the trip that you went on, was it a comped trip and then you wrote about it? Or was it a trip that you paid for?
It was a trip I paid for.
Okay.
Yeah.
So fully above board, traditional journalism rules.
Right. Totally.
Yes. Which is the kind of thing we're going to talk about today. We're veering from the formula a little bit. Not going to talk about food history. We're basically going to have a battle, bloggers versus writers.
A battle. Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to get real intense. I just hope everyone's ready for that. Before we get into it, though, I wanted to talk about a listener letter. Rachel Barth wrote in about the Buffalo Wings episode that we did. Esther, do you like buffalo wings?
I like buffalo wings.
They're delicious.
They are.
Pretty basic, crowd-pleasing
yes.
item.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she noticed the part where I said that Applebee's bone-in double crunch wings have an upsetting name.
Bone-in double crunch wings.
Yeah, because there's something too primal about saying bone and then crunch.
And then they're not really wings anymore.
Yeah, who knows what they are? Because they have the boneless variety as right. well, but they call the bone-in ones the double to crunch. And she said that that was disgusting too. And she actually lives in Brooklyn and she went there one night. Mm. And you don't just say that you go to Applebee's when you live in Brooklyn. There has to be a qualifier. It's specifically because she and her brother saw that Applebee's says that they claims to have the best happy hour in Brooklyn.
Wow.
And they were like, yeah, right.
Wow.
But they wanted to see for themselves.
Yeah.
One thing I will say for the Applebee's in Brooklyn is that they do not sell pizza. This is what Rachel told me.
Okay.
Which I think is a good move.
Right.
Because how are you going to compete?
If they're going to elevate, I guess you get rid of the mediocre pizza.
Right. Exactly.
The throwaway pizza. The flatbread of the 2000s, I guess.
Yes. 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 She also said that all the wing names sounded upsetting to her. And as she put it, they have a, quote, concerning number of things with Oriental in the name.
Mm.
Chain restaurants still be doing that.
Yeah. Because where's their base?
I guess.
You know,
I know. But the only Applebee's I've ever been to is in the San Gabriel Valley, which is a very Asian area mm-hmm. of LA County.
Right.
But I guess.
And they still said Oriental.
Yeah. And I think it's a thing, you know, we have that rule. You say Asian if it's people and Oriental mm-hmm. if it's an object.
Right.
But a while back, I'm mm-hmm. sure you remember this as a denizen of food Twitter.
Mm.
People were talking about Chinese chicken salad.
Right. I think I remember.
Yeah. And they're like, why is it called that?
Chinese. I know. It's like there are a lot of things that are just loosely. I mean, it's also a matter of like. Picking your battles.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But I mean, it's kind of like, well, I don't really go into Applebee's, so maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I have to see this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to need to pick a fight if I have to see this. But
it's also a thing where I wonder about the history of it because apparently it was a Chinese American woman who invented that.
Right. I saw that.
So it's like, well, if she did it, does that make it okay? And I honestly don't know the answer.
Yeah, there is no great answer. You can say Asian chicken salad just to be like.
Mm-hmm. But then that's weird too because it was invented in California.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
And it's like stereotypes about Asian, like wonton strips. Come
right.
on.
Or there's sesame in it.
Yes, naturally. There's right. both.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonton, sesame, soy.
Yeah. Gotta have those mandarin oranges.
Right? They're not the cuties.
Right. No, that won't do. It has to be the mandarins, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
So like we just said, you actually paid for your snowboarding trip that you ended up writing about.
Right.
But what if like you had been comped, even just for dinner? Let's talk about a comp dinner.
Yeah.
And you really don't like the food.
Right.
Do you still write about it in glowing terms?
No. I just don't mention it.
You just don't mention it.
And I tell like the PR person, I'm like, well, you don't really want me to talk about it because I have, you know, more bad things to say than good things. And, you know, and then like, well, this is the feedback you can take back. So it's at least constructive, you know. But it's not like some just like, oh, because I had this paid for, mm-hmm. I'm just going to write about it and like, thank you so much for this free food. I'm going to lie about it, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay. That makes me feel like maybe you are not the typical food blogger because I will see posts on food blogs where I'm like, nah, I've been there. Mm. I know you don't think that or I don't trust your taste.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think people get into it for different reasons.
Yeah.
That's so you. Okay. And for anyone who's like not familiar with the process, which why would you be? publicists will email writers, bloggers, et cetera, and say, we'd love to have you in. Mm-hmm. And they'll say things like, we'd love to have you meet chef. And I'm like, gross. Please don't use that term that way.
Yeah.
He's not my boss.
Wow.
Like translated into English, we'd love to have you meet chief. Yes. What are you talking about, chef? I really think it's gross when civilians call chefs chef.
Right. Right. They're not like in the kitchen with them and being like having to address them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It's a weird obsequious thing.
That's
and it's
valid.
Also trying to be like part of the gang.
It's yeah.
Way too
true.
Try hard.
That's true. Totally try hard.
But you, so they'll ask you, we'd love to have you in, and then you can say, yes, I'll be in on this date or whatever. You arrange it to come in. They know you're coming. They bring you free stuff. The chef probably comes out and says, hi. They've probably paid more attention to the plates that they're giving you than they do to the average.
Absolutely.
Plate. So you're saying that you're brave enough. If you get all that and you didn't like it, you'll tell the publicist.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, full disclosure,
yeah.
I haven't updated my blog for a while.
Okay. You know what, though? Who has? It's all about Instagram now.
Right.
And you Instagram constantly.
I do.
Yeah.
Because
you have like good photos too.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't that a little bit part of being a food blogger, Instagrammer? I feel like photos are more important than the writing.
Yeah. It's kind of like the hook. You know, if it's not a good photo, you're not going to read the caption. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I
totally.
Want to like scroll past this.
Uh-huh.
And not spend more time and read.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's interesting because, of course, we have the Smart Mouth Podcast Instagram as well. And I know I'm not a food photographer and I know I don't have a good camera.
Mm.
But I almost feel like because I come from it from the journalism part, I can be like, I'm not a good photographer. I don't know what you people want.
Own
and
it.
We still get followers.
Yeah.
Because it's just like the expectations are a little bit different when it comes to the photography. The expectations for me are so much lower than they are for you.
Right. And they're maybe like announcing something like this is up or.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a different game.
Instead of like just this photo, like gaze at it.
Of gorgeousness.
And appreciate it.
Yes.
And yeah.
Of course, new restaurants are making it easier for everybody because restaurants, I'm not just making this up. This is a real thing. Restaurants now design themselves with Instagram specifically in mind.
Yes, they do.
With the marble tables.
Right.
Putting the branding on the plates and the napkins.
Yeah, absolutely. Like dark backgrounds.
Yes,
for
exactly.
The contrast.
Color blocked walls.
Less brown food.
Yep.
More
yeah. So
food.
Not just the interior design, but the food,
yeah.
The choices of food itself.
Yeah. Which I love risotto. So it's like.
I'm not getting any of that.
You know what I mean?
So. I think that's a big part of why avocado toast is so.
It
photographs
part.
Well.
Huge part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Besides pesto, what else is green, I guess?
Yeah. There's not a lot of like.
And then salads don't do well. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Okay. This is the thing that I think bloggers and journalists have in common.
Yeah.
The only feedback you ever get is people being like, why don't you feature more vegan stuff? So,
okay.
So people say that. So you feature something vegan. No one clicks on it.
Yeah.
No
you get less likes.
Shit. Yeah.
Unless you're like, you've established yourself as the vegan.
Right. Unless that's the thing, the full-time thing.
Totally.
Otherwise, if you put up a salad, people are like, why would you do this?
Exactly.
Here's what gets clicks. Two things. One, dessert. of any kind to pork.
Pork.
Yeah. That's what people actually want to look at and read about.
Right. Or like brisket and barbecue and like that. Yeah. Like that kind of meat stuff. And
stuff that is considered in American culture to be like guilty pleasure stuff. Yeah. Which that is a term I will not use.
I won't use guilty either.
Right? Why would you do that to yourself?
That's moralizing.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's not what we're here for.
No.
I don't like it.
No.
Okay. So something that is like a rule, and it's something that you learn in – I didn't go to J school, but I did a summer program at Medill School of Journalism. And this is like the one – this is like the main thing. Cool. You, as a journalist, you tell the story.
Mm.
You are not the story.
Yes.
That is a huge difference.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you – did you know that you wanted to be like a writer?
Yeah. So it's funny because when I started blogging, you know, you could say, I mean, I was writing while I was blogging, but I was like, the topic was navel gazing. I went to the bathroom. I went, and that's actually like how blogging started, was because like when I graduated college, basically like my friends and I all had blogs in order to keep in touch with each other.
Okay.
So that's how we're just totally like talking about pedestrian stuff. But I figured out I was kind of getting better at the pedestrian stuff. So I eventually gravitated towards like, oh, I need a subject area. Like, because I do love – that's how I discovered that I loved writing.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was actually writing about totally mundane stuff. And I'm like, oh, I kind of want to like get better and like concentrate it. And what am I really interested in? And then it just kind of one led to another.
And do you feel like you were aware of the fact that you weren't doing like traditional journalism? Did you have an awareness that you're like, oh, I'm talking about myself. That's not what you would do in a newspaper.
Right. I mean, I definitely had an inkling because it was like I was ending up at the same events as actual like print food journalists for a while. And, you know, totally getting like, you know, the nose turned up at me.
Really?
Yeah. For a while. Because – oh, you're a blogger. Oh, you're a blogger. And that's, you know, for a while. And then I don't see them anymore. You know what I mean?
And this is another point we can discuss, because journalists don't get paid anything and they go into different industries. I feel like blogs can actually make money.
Right.
Not all of them, not necessarily, but there is money to be made in that sphere.
There is.
SponCon and all that. I think maybe especially with Instagram.
Yeah.
So the thing that's changing, though, is journalism in terms of telling the story, not being the story.
Yeah.
There's a lot more being the story in quote unquote traditional journalism.
Do you call that journalism or influencing? You know what I mean?
It's really, I feel like it's really muddied.
It is. Right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I did recently, I'm forgetting completely where it was, but I saw some sort of breakdown between influencers and thought leaders.
Thought leaders. Yeah. That's another.
Not spelled T-H-O-T. But I do think that that's a funny joke to be a thought leader.
Well, that settles that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was a story about how for like the previous 5 years or something, publicists and brands have been going after influencers.
Right.
And these are people with at least tens of thousands of followers on Instagram. And it's like, well, they clearly are reaching a ton of people. So they will actually influence people's buying and spending decisions.
Yes.
But that what brands are deciding now is that it's not so much the influencers, it's the thought leaders that matter, because the thought leaders are the first one to write something and then the influencers steal it. So you have to get the thought leaders in there first so that the influencers
follow.
Exactly. And that the thought leaders tend to have fewer followers and whatnot. And I was like, I think that that might be more me, because as someone who was writing for LA Weekly for 2 years and KCET for 4 or 5 years before that, I would sometimes write something for the publication.
Completely.
And I would Google it and know that I was the only person to have written about it. And then 6 months later, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Which, and your pub date is like the earliest thing.
Exactly. And I know that that should be gratifying, but it actually makes me really mad whenever that happens.
Right.
Yeah. I read an article recently about this Indonesian restaurant in a badminton cafe or badminton court in Pomona.
Okay, cool.
I know that I'm, up until this article, I was the only journalist to have written about it.
Yeah.
because it's Googleable.
Right.
And the woman in this article was saying, people have been saying that it's the best Indonesian food. And I was a little bit like, you know, you could have just linked.
Yeah. And you're not people.
Yeah. There was like a specific person. Yeah. And I think there's the idea that everyone has to think they discovered everything, mm-hmm. which is why we get into Columbusing.
Totally.
People being like, I discovered it. Yeah. I don't think it's bad to be like, my friend told me about it. Yeah. I read this other article about it and I wanted to see for myself.
Yeah.
Of course, when you do that, you are making yourself the story again.
No, that's true. Because
you're talking about your... So it's this weird thing where I actually do believe in pulling back the veil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And kind of explaining a little bit. I think especially in the milieu we're currently into, people actually like reading that.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, and there's a journalistic integrity to like crediting the right person. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. And you're right. Just like you said, all it takes is a link.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like paying homage and totally owning whatever. And you're just like really amplifying their message, which I think is just as important.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
plus you make more friends that way. Yeah, like, no in the industry.
No kidding.
So people were snotty towards you.
Yeah.
Are we talking like LA Times employees or like what? Where's the split? Not to like call out.
Yeah, I, like, I don't hey. You know, and I couldn't really like really remember or whatever. And I mean, like exactly who it was, mm-hmm. but I just remembered just that overall, you know.
That's so weird.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I started my blog like 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can kind of tell. I mean, I might have acted that way. I don't know if I were, you know, a print journalist and like these, like.
Yeah. 14 years ago, there was more attitude about it. Were publicists rude to you also?
No, they were.
So yeah, they've always been on board.
Yeah. They wouldn't invite me and then like be like, huh, you know, but.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to my face.
Right. Because now I feel like the line between blogging and journalism is being erased
completely,
very
I think,
slowly.
Yeah.
So that could be like a neutral thing or a fine thing. But I started to actually wonder, I was like, is that actually part of our like decreasing media literacy?
Mm-hmm.
Should
I think
we know
so.
The difference?
I think we should.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Russians and the right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. No, that's true, because you would see, you know, when people link to blogs or sites or whatever that are garbage, and people don't seem to be able to tell the difference between garbage and legitimate. So even though you're a blogger, mm-hmm. you still think that there should be like almost that church and state divide.
When I was blogging, when I was updating my blog mm-hmm. and the meal was comped, I would say that at the end of every post.
So there's actually like room for you to be honest about it in a way, because like dirty little, maybe not that much of a secret, journalists get comped constantly all the time and they won't say it.
Right.
Because it's seen as shameful.
Right. But I would say like only critics, like official critics, will do like a comprehensive, like, this is good, this is good, this is bad. Whereas like a journalist that's not an official critic would just point out, this is good for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then maybe do like a listicle or like a roundup, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, listicles are, I mean, they might be like, I think it's saturated now, but they were bread and butter for a very long time.
Oh, absolutely. They still are.
Yeah, they still are. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
so case in point.
Well, what's funny about that is people will always use that phrase to denigrate a publication. They'll be like, it's all listicles. And it's like, hey, stop clicking on them.
You're the one clicking on them.
Yeah.
Or they're even just like critiquing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this and this is good. This is, mm-hmm. I can't believe this is on here.
Mm-hmm. And they don't understand that the executives at publications don't care if you don't like it or not. They're only counting the clicks.
Exactly.
A hate click is a click.
It is. Yeah, it's true.
And it only hurts the writer's feelings, but the people in charge of the money are like, great.
Yeah.
Make fun of it. Spread it around.
Keep talking about it.
Yes.
Yes. However that ends up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So when you started writing more for other publications, like mm-hmm. moving into journalism away from blogging, like the first time you got edited mm-hmm. by someone else, did you smash up your apartment in rage?
No, because I think it was an easier listicle.
Got it.
Yeah. I mean, and then like I think one of the first people first groups I like started writing for is like, you know, Discover LA, which is actually marketing, you know, mm-hmm. but it's helpful, you know, and I think they do a great job, with all their content. So it's been agreeable with them, you know. And
so they've been down like the editing. Yeah. Okay, what about when I've edited you?
When you've edited
me. Have you been
me,
like, are you fucking kidding me?
No. No. I've loved writing for you.
Really? You don't have to just say that.
You I did. Okay. I think it was like, yeah.
Okay.
I think the hardest, it's not, I've never like felt ill will, but like the hardest like edits I've had to do were like personal essay because it's like myself.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So when you're writing about a restaurant, you're like, it's not me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know that it's a common trope among editors that you have to tread so carefully when you're deciding whether or not to hire a blogger.
Interesting.
To write a paid piece for you because you know that when they see the edited final version, they're probably going to be a dick about it.
Really?
Yeah. Either they email you.
Fascinating.
Or if you email them and you're like, hey, make these edits, they'll be like, well, they'll fight back.
Really?
Or another thing and or is they do post the article to social media, but they'll say something like, I wrote this. I didn't choose the headline for it, though, but I guess if you want to click it. Which is such a weird relationship to set up with someone who wants to give you money.
No, that's true. Right?
For them.
That's true.
It's also a misunderstanding. There's a reason why headlines are written the way that they are.
Oh, they absolutely.
And I think that a lot of people and bloggers who haven't had to deal with that are dealing, like trying to come at SEO in a different way. Mm. Yeah. They don't understand that, like, the way that I'm probably like the youngest person to still have been trained in this way, it was all about like, where we were trained for newspaper headlines.
Yes.
Not online headlines. So like when totally we don't different. Specify someone's name, it's not that we're like, this always comes up when women aren't named in a headline. Mm. We aren't just being sexist. It's usually if it's not a famous person, you don't actually put their name in it because you want to draw more eye. You want to intrigue more people. And that was true in paper print as well.
Yeah. I always figure that whatever headline I come up with is not going to be used. So I kind of don't. Like, I let my editor, I just know that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think there's ever been a headline that I've, like, named a Google Doc that's ever been used as the actual headline. Funny. You know? So I've kind of, like, let that go.
Yeah. But, of course, it's important to note, too, that editors aren't necessarily better writers than writers.
Yeah. It's just another, I mean, not just, but the second pair of eyes is, like, everything.
Absolutely. That's totally what it is.
It is everything.
And the editor job and the reporter job, like, I feel like the people who stay reporters are because they're, like, the creative types who just, like, have all these stories to tell.
Yeah.
But usually can't meet deadlines. Mm. Usually are, like mentally all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? Editors are kind of – they're, like, the admins of journalism. We're a little bit more boring.
Well, you're, like, herding cats.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to, like, get things up. It's our job to make sure that things are actually posted.
Totally.
So it's much more the, like, corporate mindset.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Not that we're better writers. It's not, like, a trajectory from writer to editor.
Yeah.
It's two different paths.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Have you ever gone on a comped trip?
I have.
Where have you gone?
My last comp trip was Armenia.
What?
Yeah.
That actually really – I was not excited. Yeah. I was thinking like Cabo or something like
that. Yeah. I mean, Cabo's been one.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, Armenia was like in September, and it was by Ararat, which is a Armenian brandy company. Okay. I know. And they – yeah.
So tell us the like whole – how that happens from approaching to actually getting there to the country.
Right. Well, they approached me. It's like, you know, I think the PR person, she got the account and then it was like a fast turnaround somehow.
Uh-huh.
And she needed to find, you know, spirits writers or LA based. And so, I mean, I already knew maybe like 75% of the people going on the trip because you know how small the circuit is.
Yeah.
And then there was like six of us. We went. And
what was paid for? Was absolutely everything paid for?
Everything was paid for.
Okay. And then you all got on the plane and you landed.
Mm-hmm.
And on this trip, was it a mile a minute? Having to go on and do all sorts of activities.
Like, I've been on faster paced, more packed trips, more domestic, but this was a good, it was a feasible pace.
Okay.
It was good.
Because I have sometimes been invited on comp trips.
Yes.
And you look at the itinerary and you're like, what are you talking about? There's literally like 10 things you have to do every day.
Right.
And they're mostly pretty hokey.
You know, exactly.
And you also, you have to do that and be around people.
That you don't know who you're going to get along with or not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So, and then did you, when they emailed you initially and you guys were like talking about it.
Yeah.
Were they like, you have to promise that you'll get it published, an article published somewhere?
So that's been the condition on a few other trips. Mm-hmm. This trip, that wasn't the case, which is lucky.
Michelle, we should get a trip to Armenia. Apparently they don't need anything in return for it.
I know. I mean, they count on the social media.
Yeah.
You know, the Instagram and stuff like that. But I think they also know that, like, I don't know. The whole, like, guarantee of coverage thing is – I think it's a shady thing because it's like, how do you even know what the story is?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly you have, like, this in with probably a publication that might not mean a lot. If you, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you like can just publish whatever, or if you're
so
an
you're
editor.
Saying that like if you're like yeah I know I can get this published, then that's probably at a publication that isn't well respected or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, because like what editor, unless you're the editor and you
yeah
have, is going to be like yeah whatever you write I'm going to publish it
right? Yes, that makes a lot
without
of sense.
Having like a compelling angle mm-hmm. or yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what that is, you mentioned like they know they get the social media. That is something I've been noticing with like press trip forms they fill out. They're
that's
like,
kind of like their bottom line.
Yeah. Well, some of them are still like, where will you be publishing this? And I'm like, I don't know, but I know I'll do Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, that's my answer as well.
Yeah. It's weird that some publicists haven't like caught up
yeah,
to that.
Yeah.
Some publicists don't know what a podcast is.
Really?
And I just think that's a really weird place to be in.
That is.
Like, they're like, will there be a video component? And I'm like, well, we'll do an Instagram story, but like, it's audio. It's, I'll be like, you know, it's just like a digital radio show.
And they don't know what it is.
Well, where does it air? And I don't know how to answer that without sounding really condescending.
You can download it.
Yeah, like literally anywhere you want to listen to it.
Oh,
you
my
can.
Gosh.
Let me introduce you to iTunes,
oh,
sir.
No.
Which is just not the universe that I live in of not knowing stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, no.
And I feel like if you're representing a brand and you don't know what all the media outlets are.
What are you targeting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I also think mm-hmm. that brands need to be savvy about who they choose as a publicist.
Oh, absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that as a restaurant or a brand, if you hire a publicist and the first thing they tell you is anything other than hire a photographer and take a photograph of every single dish,
yeah.
drink, whatever that you sell.
Yeah.
If that's not the first thing they say to you, I don't know what they're doing. Because it's all about the photos, which you mentioned
yes.
earlier. It's the way in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gorgeous photos
yeah,
that you
it
need
is.
To have. And that's true for traditional publications, too. Because
yeah.
we email the restaurants all the time and be like, do you happen to have a photo that we
yeah.
can use? And people click on gorgeous photos.
They do. They have to be ready, the photos.
Yeah. They'll yeah. be like, well, we can get you one in a week. No.
Yeah.
Let me run down there and take one on my iPhone. No.
It's too late.
Don't. I can run down there and take one
yeah,
on my iPhone.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. SpawnCon, advertising, all this
oh
stuff
gosh.
That like you, I guess, are legally required to hashtag.
Yeah,
Who's keeping up on that?
There's also like a feature on Instagram too, like on stories, you know, like paid post.
They have that now, right?
Yeah, they have seen it. I've seen
yeah.
it on my feed, friends of.
Right. It'll like it has like a different
that.
Frame around it.
Yeah.
Or something and it says paid post.
Yeah, but I haven't done it. So I don't really know how. I mean, I've done paid posts like 3 times total.
Okay. On ever. Instagram.
On Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. On Instagram.
And is that one where they approach you
yeah.
as well?
Yeah,
okay.
that's where they, and I've also like ignored emails too cuz it's like yeah,
stuff you're not into.
Yeah, it's stuff that I'm not into, and then it feels like it's a mass email,
mm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, where there's like,
you want to feel special,
yeah,
really,
seriously, but it needs to be a fit. I guess that's the top.
It has to make sense.
Yeah, it
for
has
you.
To, yeah,
okay.
Totally. Yeah.
So Do they say things like the picture has to have XYZ in it? The caption has to hit these points.
Certain keywords, the keywords are the hashtags.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you have to mention, like, I've done like a launch of a contest, like keywords and stuff like that. Yeah.
The funniest thing to me on all of the planet is when people like Real Housewives do a sponsored Instagram post.
Yes.
And they copy and paste the entire email from their publicist. So it'll be like, "Hi, Ramona, here's the copy. You can copy and paste it. Be sure to
include." And they do it.
And then they do email. This has happened like 3 times with like Kardashians and Real Housewives. And I think it's hilarious.
Wow.
Like,
not writers.
Literally, you had one job.
Like, yeah.
You're going to make money off of endorsements and that's it. Do it right.
Yeah.
So weird.
It is weird.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's another world.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not quite there yet either.
Yeah, I know. I don't really have 1 million followers yet.
Do you aspire to that?
No. I don't. It's kind of like, I mean, I barely even take selfies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, not that selfies are imperative to have like a huge following, but
I kind of think they are.
They are, right?
When I post selfies, they get way more traction. They do. I don't know if that's 100% organic or if Instagram actually, if that's part of the algorithm to push selfies up.
Yeah. I mean, like we were saying before, being the story or telling the story, like I am way more towards the latter. And, but that's, I think that's what journalism is. You get out of the way so that the story itself, you know what I mean? It's interesting not because you're in it, but because of the actual story.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. I also think that when the journalism executives decided that writers are trash and they weren't going to pay them anything anymore, people had to look at other sources of income.
Right.
And I think I am uncomfortable doing stuff like, for instance, the show has a Patreon. So I needed to post about it. Like, what's the point of having like a donor system if no one knows that they can give you money?
Yeah.
So I did a post on Instagram that was like a selfie of me waving to the camera and being like, "Hey, like I made a joke about it. I was like, Michelle needs new batteries all the time. Ha, right. And that's obviously making me the story.
Right.
But
no, yeah.
That's how podcasting works.
But that's applicable. That's not like getting out of the way. It is you. You're asking money for you, for your project.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Give us money, please.
Yeah. That is the story. You are the story. So.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think that there are certain publications who maybe have gotten a whole new staff. And I don't think that those staff members who have been hired as journalists know the difference between not being the story. It's just really weird if you see a long-standing publication that's always been a print publication and they start posting first-person articles introducing themselves. That's sort of like,
that is
weird. Do you know the difference between a blog and a newspaper?
That's true.
And I'm not sure that they do.
No.
And then I get angry that people who don't know what they're doing get to have jobs, blah, blah, blah.
I know. I hear you.
Ridiculous.
I'm 100% in agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I hear you.
It's going to get more complicated. You know, thank goodness those anonymous donors paid to buy LAist, Gothamist, Chicagoist, I think was
Chicagoist, DCist. I think.
Was DCist?
I think DCist is part of it.
I know not all of them got rescued, but now they're going to partner with public radio.
Yes.
That's cool. But that's going to be something that we haven't ever seen before. That's going to be like a new kind of journalism.
Totally.
Because LAist was written in an extremely casual style.
Exactly. And volunteer.
Yeah. Which that's a real no-no these days.
Right. But it's, I guess, because they've always been that way. You know what I mean? Like, then it did fill a niche, and it's not like that niche has changed. Like, I mean,
yeah. So, but I think that a lot of like old timer public radio journalists who know the proper way of doing things are going to really have an emotional breakdown about like how LAist people do things.
That's true.
Real seat of our pants.
And true, like Huffington Post used to be unpaid.
Yeah.
And now they've moved away from that. Yeah. I mean, bravo. You know.
I mean, good for them. Ariana Huffington is still a real piece of garbage. Yeah. I can't
deal
with her.
Yeah, I'm not.
The fact that she's on Uber's board and writes articles about how great Uber is.
Oh my gosh, really?
She's the blogger who doesn't know what the rules are. My God.
She writes about Uber? I had no idea.
Yeah. She tweeted something about how now Uber has these rules that they have to take at least 6-hour breaks between shifts or something like this, and how wonderful that is because it'll prevent drowsy driving. Why do if these drivers aren't employees, then what are you doing setting rules about how long they can work for, madam?
Yeah.
You horrible, they're awful not even, person.
Yeah. They're not even like unionized or.
I'm getting so worked up. Yeah.
Get angry.
Yeah. I don't like anything about that situation.
I hear you.
So we had a question from a listener, John Rambo, who actually has been my editor at numerous publications and websites. Nice. He gave me a lot of work at Budget Travel in the mid-aughts. Mm-hmm. He was wondering about, like, coming at it from the other side, are brands themselves, are they doing a good enough job choosing the influencers that they partner with?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because I, for an example that I thought of, who's that? Jared Paul, Logan Paul? I know that there's two Paul brothers that are both considered crappy. And then there's, I think the older one was the one who went to the suicide forest in Japan and laughed about it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And since then has also been like tasing dead animals and
he's still on?
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's very strange. He's still apparently up on YouTube. But he was on an episode of Top Chef this season.
That's right. And I think that happened just before the whole
thing.
Yeah. But it was the same week, literally.
Same week. Yeah. Now, I know that Top Chef cares because they edited out John Besh from the episode where he was the guest judge. Their editors are amazing. Like, I've always thought they did good work. But the fact that they edited out the star of that episode entirely.
Yeah, that's pretty good editing.
Amazing. Yeah. So I know that they're conscientious people.
Yeah.
But they still had this guy, this gross. And I didn't understand, like, even if he tweeted about it, like, are people who follow whichever one he is interested in Top Chef anyway? Are they going to get a permanent audience?
Yeah, exactly. What is the overlap of, like, audience there?
Yeah. And do they want that audience? Yeah. Like, Top Chef has always been, like, the respected cooking show. Yeah. What are they doing with, like, a YouTube guy who's not great?
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. Do they just want influencers so badly that they don't care?
They were like, we need one more celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah. And he wasn't like a guest judge or anything like that. He wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
And like they chironed him.
Interesting.
But I didn't know what the point was.
Yeah.
So
I don't get it either.
Yeah. I don't know. Tummy Tease. Is there any woman that they won't hire?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
Yeah. I have no idea. I have no idea because, but I know that the episode literally aired like 3 days before the whole like thing blew up.
Before the Top Chef aired, whatever, Paul, 3 days
but
before.
But I still don't get to your point, the whole like, why like culinary fans would like, I don't know, get a better experience of having this guy on this episode.
I think the only reason I knew who he was is because I watched the episode after the suicide forest thing. Oh, if I had seen it before, I would have been like, I don't, okay, some kid. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like at University of Colorado, I think. So I would have been like, I guess he must be like a frat president.
Was he in like, I mean, stereotypically, like what, does he care about how it tastes? I don't know.
Right. Exactly. You
know, maybe he does. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's a weird thing, too, because taste is so subjective. So it is. I earlier was like, some people write glowing things about restaurants I know are bad. But I'm like, well, I just think they're bad.
Yeah.
Everyone
I don't
has
know.
Their own taste buds.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I don't know. And it, especially if you've gone more than once and you have, like, the same general experience and you're like, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's off. Man.
Yeah, so I don't know what to say about whether brands are hooking up with the right people.
Like, yeah, well, the thing is like, what kind of brand is it? Because I think, like, you can't treat, like, a clothing brand the same as, like, a restaurant group because you have to, like, you can, for a piece of clothing, you can, like, click on a link and buy it, like, mm-hmm. right online. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, if you get all these hits or likes on a restaurant post, I mean, how does that translate? Is everyone going to come to LA and go to that restaurant? Because this, I mean, do those likes translate? Not nearly as well.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I know that currently one of the meal kit delivery services, and I'm forgetting which one it is, so that just goes to show you, they have Mandy Moore as their spokesperson.
Really?
They're doing a big campaign on Instagram. Like, every other post, I feel like, is Mandy Moore with her meal kits. And I'm a little bit like, I don't believe she uses it, first of all, because I don't think that people who are professionally thin are really, like, cooking themselves three meals a day,
right,
et cetera.
She's got her cook.
Yeah, especially Chef. When she's shooting something. Everyone knows those are really long hours. They're eating craft services. Mm-hmm. And she probably keeps to a specific diet. I don't want to say that, like, thin people don't eat. I'm just saying that, like, she probably has a lot of specific concerns about what she eats.
Yeah.
This is me overthinking it and why I'm like, Mandy Moore doesn't use this meal kit delivery service. Why do they even have her?
Yeah.
I feel like I would believe it more if it was like, I'm this random woman and I have seven kids and I use this meal kit. I'd be like, well, I believe you.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know?
That's true.
So it just doesn't necessarily fit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. But they wanted a name.
Exactly. They probably just reached out generally for the mandate was probably approachable white woman.
Right. But they're not going to get, like, a housewife. I mean,
because that would be too tacky?
I meant, like, a real housewife, I meant.
You mean, like, of Orange County
of a reality
or
show.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. You know? Yeah.
I meant not generically.
Not a human. One of the people in Real Housewives.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I don't know who you would get.
I think I would go for a random. Maybe but
a TV show mom.
Which is what she is.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I don't know. So
maybe sales have gone up 5,000% since they started using her.
Maybe.
And we don't know what we're talking about.
Maybe.
But I also think that actually we should be in charge of everything and be much better at it. Okay, basically. Which kind of gets to my last point, which is that I think that restaurants and brands should actually hire journalists. And I'm not just saying this because I want to make money. They should hire journalists to be like, this is what works. When you do it, because so many of the things that, like, gets filtered through the PR agencies, I'm like, what's happening?
Yes.
The main thing, to my earlier point, being the photos.
Right.
Like, don't even bother pitching if you don't have photos already. Because for real reasons, but also, like, human laziness reasons, if you know you have good art, you're more likely to just post the article.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I mean, why'd you send me this email?
I don't get it.
Like, I don't even know, like, what to, like, think of what you're trying to tell me about this food.
Yeah, exactly. You should have the photos ready.
Yes.
You should have horizontal versions of them. I don't – when they send a newspaper a vertical photo, I'm like, what are you even doing?
Vertical for Instagram stories.
Right. That's the only time you would want it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it, though.
So there have been a couple times I've been doing, like, a lot of panels in the last few years, and some of them are, like, the audience is young journalists.
Yes.
So from the go, I'm like, you're a college student and you think you want to go work for a newspaper? Are you not paying attention to the world around you? Why would you? And I feel bad when they're like,
I know.
What piece of advice would you give to someone who wants to get into newspapers? Honest to God, my advice is don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah. And I'm not being a cranky old person in saying that.
Yeah.
I really mean that in a helpful way.
Yeah.
There are other options if you want to be a writer that pay more.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Have you done corporate writing at all?
I've done like lists of, like, just nearby municipal stuff for, like, you know, a developer before.
Mm-hmm.
I've done stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I've done, like, for the Hollywood Bid organization, I do, like, some blog posts for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they have more money.
So much more money. So you're talking about working with developers and, like, semi-government agencies?
Right. Like, like business development agencies, stuff like that.
I've done a thing for Discover Los Angeles as well, which is just the name of the LA Tourism Bureau.
Exactly.
And they're actually doing really interesting. They're really digging into, like, we're all immigrants here and everyone is welcome.
They are.
So, like, I totally support working for them, and I'm told and they pay more.
They pay good.
I've done sponsored content for
sorry, I'm a writer.
I'm gonna edit that.
They pay good.
I've done sponsored content for Hulu.
nice.
streaming service nice. And for a cruise ship company.
Yeah.
Again, they pay yeah. so much better. Yeah, and I don't feel bad about it because they, again, put it on a website with a different colored frame and they say content brought to you by, and I think it's fine.
Yep.
And if people, if they're paying their own rent, why would you begrudge them making money?
No.
Is how I think
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not lying and saying it's editorial.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's advertorial, mm-hmm. sponsored by, mm-hmm. brought to you by, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah.
So I think learning how to write is cool. Mm-hmm. And I still support that.
Right.
But in terms of jobs for young people to look for, I would, here's what I was actually decided. Mm-hmm. I would tell them, write a list of the brands that you respect.
Ooh. That's a good exercise.
And then, or even the ones just that you like, like yeah. if you enjoy their product.
Right.
So if you enjoy like a specific fast food company, mm-hmm. or if you respect something, someone like Patagonia,
yeah.
which anyone who doesn't respect them right now can eat my butt because they're an amazing company. They're so wonderful. Like I actually do want to work for them. They're nice. Amazing people. They're so they progressive in a way. They really mean it. Mm-hmm. But apply to work for them.
Yeah.
Everyone has a blog now.
Completely. Yes.
Everyone has social media now. Right. You can do the writing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it's, I feel like you're no more bought and paid for than if you worked at a regular newspaper.
Completely. And you should really practice writing regularly. Mm-hmm. It's, even for yourself or whatever.
Yeah. It's a muscle you got to work.
I mean, that's how you start a blog, is you start by posting regularly mm-hmm. and just keep that up for a while, for few years, you know.
Same thing with podcasting.
Yeah,
they always say that the number one thing in terms of like listener engagement is posting at the same time
Consistent.
Every week.
Yes.
Yeah, you just gotta do it.
Absolutely.
Just do the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best advice for almost anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking like, yeah, Patagonia, but whoever is tweeting for Wendy's is having a blast.
That's amazing. I need to follow Wendy's.
They're hilarious. Okay. Moon Pie is another crazy. They are, it's just a little company that started like sassing people.
That's hilarious.
In the manner of a teenager on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're just like a regional dessert, packaged dessert company, and their tweets are going viral left and right.
Amazing. Have you seen Denny's? They're hilarious.
Denny's got so weird. Yeah, no. It's like,
yeah, they're so weird.
They're so weird. They post the weirdest gifts, they make the weirdest art, and people are like, what I love about that is that without saying it, they're being like, we're open 24 hours, donors. And they don't have to actually say it. They just speak to them. They speak their language.
I love the Denny's Twitter account.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. You're a snowboarder. Yeah, right. We get it.
That's hilarious. Guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally. So I think what we've learned today is actually that at this point, there's almost no distinction between journalism and blogging.
No, it's true. Mm-hmm.
There doesn't have to be. Sometimes that's a good thing because bloggers right. are doing great work, and newspapers are sometimes looking at different ways of approaching stories. Sometimes it's a bad thing if people aren't paying attention to things like whether content was paid for, mm-hmm. et cetera.
A lot of people don't care.
A lot of people don't care.
And that's what people are
care.
Counting on, I think. I mean, the brands are counting on.
I do get upset when people say stuff like, like if there's a good review of a restaurant, say mm-hmm. in LA Weekly when I was writing there, and someone does not like that restaurant mm-hmm. that Besha liked, for instance, they'll be like, I wonder how much the restaurant paid for that.
Yeah.
That is such a fundamental misunderstanding of how
yes.
it works.
Yes.
But that's what makes me crazy. It's the ignorance of the process.
That's true.
Thinking that someone paid Besha or the LA yeah. Weekly money.
Or that's it's that easy, or there are no standards.
Exactly.
For that critique.
No, she went to it three times.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
on her own.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. Makes
I mean,
me crazy.
On LA Weekly's own.
On LA Weekly's time. Yeah,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
But yeah, the critics yeah. don't get paid by the restaurants. They
no.
get paid by their boss and are literally allowed to write anything they want about how they felt about a place.
Exactly.
Mm hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate because if they don't understand, then like, I mean, what, we have like one critic now, right? So, or do it two?
In LA, we have Jonathan Gold.
Okay.
Who's a critic. But I actually yes. think that I see what people mean about wanting a full-time critic. But mm-hmm. I know that like the writing I was doing and my freelancers, less so with the freelancers, because mm-hmm. it has to be like, you're a, how do I put this? If you're in-house, mm-hmm. you can pass judgment on a restaurant because it's like, okay, this is the name that we've decided we trust enough to hire them.
Got it.
And why, like, the freelancers were yeah. less allowed to say whether or not they like something.
I see.
They had to describe it without passing judgment.
Got it. Makes sense. Okay.
So I think, like, the work that I do and, like, Eater does, it's kind of sometimes is criticism
mm-hmm.
because – it can be. I don't know. I don't know that there has to be separate critics.
Right.
Especially yeah, I hear. Because so many, you know, critics used to be once a week they would publish their restaurant That's review, true. But now they like also have to put up 2 blog posts a day, blah, blah, blah.
Gives you everything.
I want everyone to know that it is absolutely the journalism executives
yeah.
that are to blame for any sort of downfall in journalism.
Hmm.
They overwork people and they underpay them.
Yeah.
In a really almost criminal way.
Yeah. Yes.
There are worse things going on the planet, but it still pisses me off.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's valid.
Yeah.
Completely.
Oh, my goodness. And just to be clear, also for listeners, I don't work at LA Weekly anymore. And if you can, like, I don't know, if you wanted to search the Twitter hashtag Save LA Weekly or whatever, you'd, like, find out
yeah.
a lot of stuff.
I had to switch my hashtag. I was still doing boycott. Yeah. To do save.
No, I saw that so many of my freelancers, I didn't even have to talk to any of you guys about the change. You were all instantly like, boycott LA Weekly.
Oh, of course.
And then switch it to save LA Weekly because it would be so cool if that what happened would to LAist happened to LA Weekly.
That would be too. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some if a local philanthropist can save LA Weekly, that would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know some rich people listen to the show. So come on, folks.
Come on.
Get on it.
Save journalism.
Esther, thank you so much
for
coming on and hashing out all these issues with me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, since we've been talking about social media, what's your Instagram handle?
It is estarla, E-S-T-A-R-L-A.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.